Well, it came about, I think, firstly at the Rivoli Theatre in Camberwell. The manager used to come out at interval and a microphone, a big ribbon microphone, would rise from the stage and he'd talk to all the kids. I was fascinated by that microphone. And then later on, I worked at Woolworths part-time in Burke Road, Camberwell, and the manager asked me to do the announcements over the store microphone, which annoyed some of the other people because he gave me 5 shillings extra on a Saturday morning to do that. So I was in the air-conditioned room they were at and the non-air-conditioned store. So that's microphones, yes.
So when was this?
Oh, that would have been the early 50s, 1950s.
And it was different times then, wasn't it?
Different times, yes. I'd get 10 shillings for the Saturday morning, and I think I went up to Wetzler's Radio in Burke Road, Camberwell, and bought a 78 record for 4 and 6. So I was interested in the music and the microphones.
So yes. That led on to you thinking, well, perhaps I could pursue this,
yes.
The microphone, and make money using it.
That's correct. That, I suppose that was at the back of the mind. And I had a friend of similar interests, and we both ended up getting a Pyrox tape recorder and actually doing make-believe radio programs we sent to each other. So it was there, wasn't it?
Early beginnings.
That's right.
And then you pursued it because you went to broadcasting school.
That's correct, yes, to the good old Vincent School of Broadcasting in Little Collins Street in Melbourne after, well, I must have been working in those days. It would be mid-50s, I suppose, and I don't know if you want to hear about the key coming down.
Oh, yes, yes, please, yes. Please.
You'd roll up there after work and press a buzzer and someone upstairs would let a key down on a little string which you'd use to let yourself in the front door and climb up the stairs to the trainee's studio, and Mr. Bill Roberts personally would take you through pronunciations and the equipment, of course, and
And was that a requirement? I mean, if you wanted a job in broadcasting in those days, commercial or the ABC, was that a requirement that you had to go to broadcasting school?
It seemed to be. The way to go would be to complete a course. There are other schools, of course, Lee Murray and Clark St. Clair, and you seemed to be able to do the course. And certainly with Bill Roberts, he would find you perhaps paid work at the end or when he thought you were capable. So I was offered a job in Launceston, which seemed to me to be overseas at the time. So.
Indeed. 7EX.
That's correct. It's
station,
a breakfast announcer, copywriter. I didn't take it on because I at the same time, I just started employment in the Commonwealth Public Service and the Department of Air at Victoria Barracks.
You've been associated with communication, if I can call it that in general. You worked for the Australian Broadcasting Control Board.
Yes, that was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. 1970, that was, that I actually landed there. And found it very interesting. They had, of course, they dealt with commercial broadcasting generally, broadcasting and television, policy, licensing, programs, a very interesting place to work.
And they eventually became the Department of Communications.
With changes of government, yes, they firstly, they created the Australian Broadcasting Tribunal in 1976. The tribunal took over, then it became Department of the Media, Department of Postal and Communications. They moved to Sydney. We were based in Marland House in Melbourne, and the Argus building before that. That was an interesting place to work. Technical Services Division, of course. So my job was, at the end, was writing ministerial correspondence for people in the outback areas who were after television, and at that stage they were provided with television by translator stations. And
did you still hanker to work in radio? Was it there in the back of your mind all that time?
Probably in the back of the mind. I remember going to 3UZ, I think. No, 3XY, that's right. a man called Craig Kelly used to do the breakfast session. He ran some type of competition, and I remember one morning he put me on to say, 3XY, it's 8 o'clock. That's all I said.
Fame at last.
Yeah. But there we go.
So how far away are we? And now we're getting on to Radio Eastern, or as it would have been known in those days, Eastern Community Broadcasters.
That's right.
How far away was it before you became aware of their existence?
There were community stations being established while I was even still involved in the public service, 3CR, of course, and then I became aware of ECB, as it was, really when it began the test transmissions. And my son Stephen was actually a member at the time, and I thought, oh, that sounds good. I liked the music they were playing on the test transmissions. So I eventually joined too. Stephen was already a presenter, and, well, we did a few programs together, actually, one Christmas. And
but he pipped you at the post.
That's right, he did. It was amusing when I became really involved, because it was a matter of, it was very early days, 91, and Peter MacArthur, our great friend, our late great friend, was sort of organising all the presenters, and I'd just put in a tape one day and got a call back from Peter, and he said, how'd you like to do Saturday at lunchtime? So with great trepidation, I came in and did a program which became permanent, or sort of permanent, called it the Footy Alternative Show, giving people who didn't like football
an alternative. An alternative. It must have been an interesting experience in those days, because, yeah, but broadcasting has changed dramatically. What we do now has changed. The whole environment is different. What do you remember about those very early days, being a member of a community radio station?
Well, we certainly had some great people around on the committee, and the other presenters. Everyone was very friendly and a great community spirit. It was sort of really progressing towards community involvement. We were taking around caravans, council-owned caravans, to a lot of the festivals, and interviewing people, running tapes back to the studio, and we didn't have the direct... The technical advances have been marvellous since, I must say.
But you were pioneering nonetheless, weren't you?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, it was just thoroughly enjoyable. And after a while, strangely enough, I was asked to join the Committee of Management. And through that, you could find out everything that was going on. And
I suppose that there must have been a great deal of pleasure of being part of a group that was starting something new, feeling its way, too, to a large extent. You were part of that, and you can look back 30 That's right. years plus with pride, I suppose.
Yes, I guess so. You wonder where the time has gone, but it's all been thoroughly enjoyable along the way. And feedback from listeners, of course, was important, and we had plenty of that.